Inspector v. U.S. Bank. Mr. Burks.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Stuart Burks. I appear on behalf of the appellant, Ms. Spector. The district court's order in this case granting summary judgment to the defendant and against the plaintiff was by essentially finding that the plaintiff had failed to fulfill two of the four prongs of the McDonnell-Douglas test for indirect proof of discrimination. In this discrimination case, a case of sex discrimination on the basis of pregnancy and retaliation for having asserted rights under the Family Medical Leave Act, as is typical, revolve around timing of events. Now, in this case, that timing is reflected in a period of time covering barely 30 days during the fall of 2004.
So then you would just have us not deal with all that evidence before of her failing to do the two loans per week? The requirement of the two loans per week and the subpar performance that the bank talked about and the fact that she got her first notice before they even knew she was pregnant about performing?
To say not consider it, there is no question that 6 months earlier there had been a previous warning, but then the record would show that subsequent to that warning, even though that original warning provided a notice that if you fail to fulfill this requirement, you will be terminated on April 30th. She was not terminated, and there's evidence in the record that there was nothing said to her about her performance until just shortly before the September 13th. So there was a 6 month period.
But there was a change of management as well. Her boss changed and then looked
Correct.
At her record and saw what her record had been over the course of that period of time.
That's what his testimony was.
Wanted to say the thing that concerns me about this is a matter of broader policy. She gets the March warning, which everybody agrees had nothing to do with her pregnancy because she didn't know, no one else knew. And then they don't terminate her. But I hate to see a rule adopted that says because they happen not to leap on her at the first moment that they might have done, that they've somehow been taken to concede that she cured all such problems of how many loan applications she was bringing in. We want to create incentives for employers to give people another chance. And if that's what they were doing, then I don't see why we can draw an inference that they weren't still concerned from the fact that they didn't fire her in April.
Well, certainly you wouldn't want to discourage that. I think added to that, however, is the fact that there was no disciplinary action, not even any discussions with her for a period of 6 months after that initial warning.
But there was the evidence that the new supervisor, Mr. Kidwai, had learned actually from his predecessor that she wasn't meeting these goals.
I'm sorry, I didn't.
There was a deposition testimony. I thought that the prior supervisor, as early as July, was noting that she wasn't meeting her goals. And so when Mr. Kidwai, becomes branch manager, replaces Eckert, she's identified to him as a problem employee.
Well, I thought the record really just showed that Mr. Kidwai started examining past records on his own. I don't know that there's anything in the record indicating that anyone referenced her as being a trouble employee. I think the first indication is in August of 2004 when Ms. Zajac came on the premises with Mr. Kidwai, the new manager. And I would point out that...
And she tells him that Spector's performance over the last year had been subpar. So there's evidence in the record that they were kind of carrying her along.
There also is, of course, her affidavit to the effect that she had met all of the standards.
Yeah, but that was in that period. That's the pre. She had received, I think, some good reviews, but that preceded her getting this warning.
I think her affidavit includes representation to the effect that from March through October, she had met the requirements of producing a certain number of mortgage applications.
And but there's no evidence to back that up.
Just it's her affidavit.
I know, but there'd be company records that would show how many applications were submitted.
Well, that is one of the main issues. The company, the bank, has essentially conceded, or their entire discussions are to the effect that she was terminated because she failed to meet the September 13th action plan that was presented to her. And all of the discovery dealt with, well, how many applications. She, of course, stated under oath that she exceeded the requirement of two loan applications for that period. All of the discovery on this, which was very slow in coming, and conceding the fact that she, as the employee, had no such records. She was terminated at 4:45 on a particular day and never back in the premises. So we depended on, to a large extent, what the employer was able to produce. And what they produced, we felt, was contradictory. They started out by claiming that through an affidavit of Ms. Zajac that during the period from September 13th through October 19th when she was terminated, she had produced only three loan applications. Subsequently, and as we indicated at the 11th or 11th and a half hour, they came in with an amended affidavit in which Ms. Zajac says that she made a mistake because when she went looking for the records, she had produced only those of applications that had been approved, which was not part of the standard that had been set. And that after she was able to locate those which had been submitted, that she claimed that there were seven applications, and those seven applications covered the period from September 13th through September 27th, which was a period of only 14 days. Earlier, there had been an investigation done by a representative of the bank in responding to requests from the EEOC, and they said all they could find were three applications, two of which were unapproved and had dates later than the September 27th date. That
but this all seems so vague to me. I mean, I can't tell from your brief which of these applications are the same and which are separate ones, and it seems to me, the bank's brief says, you know, yes, at first we found only the approved ones, then we found also those that had been submitted that weren't approved, but anyway you count it, it's still below the average of two per week.
Well, it was, all we can go by is the dates of the applications, and there were, besides the seven, what they produced reflected at least four others of later dates. Different from the dates were different from that of Ms. Zajac. And seven had been produced, according to Ms. Zajac, within 14 days after the action plan, which is, of course, far in excess of the two per week. The record further showed that a week before Ms. Spector was terminated, which we have estimated, since the testimony was a week before, that would be the 12th, that already the human resources had come to the conclusion that Ms. Spector was already likely going to be terminated. And this is at a point, a worst-case scenario, she was pretty much at the standard. Now, if she's pretty much at the standard at the time they're already saying she's likely to be terminated, then it would seem that the reasons for the termination could not be her failure to have met those standards. And further, The bank has made a big point of the fact that, well, it was difficult to get these records because it's going back several years, and there isn't as much information on applications that are not approved, so it was hard to get that, but that the managers had immediate access to what the applications were. And on October 19th, the day that Ms. Spector was terminated, Mr. Kidway, her manager, contacted Human Resources, advising them that basically he was going to terminate her, and he stated, having immediate access apparently, that she had only brought in 5 applications. And according to Ms. Zajac, of course, she had brought in at least 7 as of September 27th, more than 3 weeks earlier. So that record certainly should have been available to him.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Burks. Mr. Lynch?
Good morning. May it please the Court. Obviously, the bank's view is that the district court made the right decision.
Why would they use applications as their performance criterion rather than approved applications?
It's my understanding that they do that so that there's some proof that the person is actually doing some work and trying to beat the bushes, and not every application gets approved.
You could just go down the street and say to someone, look, would you like a huge loan from the U.S. Bank? Just sign your name to my application form. Then you can turn in a whole bunch of worthless applications to the bank.
Somebody could do that for a while, I would assume, but eventually they'd be caught in trying to defraud the bank.
Why wouldn't the bank just care about applications that it approved?
Well, I honestly don't know, Your Honor.
They don't make any money from an unimproved application.
And can you shed some light on this record keeping, which seems to be a problem at the bank?
It was a problem. It took a while.
So why should we penalize her when the bank couldn't find records? She's claiming that there were these other applications in the...
Your Honor, there's absolutely no proof that she submitted more than 7 applications after the action plan was submitted. The only proof that she has that she met the expectations was her own affidavit.
Well, in her affidavit, did she specify the number of applications she'd submitted?
She did not. She just simply...
A conclusional statement that she met expectations.
She just assured us that she had met this goal actually from March 30th of 04 when she was put on the written warning. She said she had submitted 2 applications, an average of 2 applications a week up until her termination on October 19th, and the actual total number during that time period is 17.
So what about these applications that Mr. Burks was referring to with dates later than those first couple of weeks of September?
The latest date of any application is September 27th of 2004. I don't know what he's referring to after that date. On page 4 of our brief, we list the actual 17 applications that were submitted by Ms. Spector during this time period. Ms. Spector only submitted 7 applications during the action plan period.
This list you have on page 4 includes both approved and unapproved?
No, this is all that she submitted. So it's both. Yes, you're right.
That's what I'm asking. Yes. So this is some of these things in this list wound up being approved by the bank, and others wound up being rejected for whatever reason.
For underwriting purposes or other reasons. That's true. This is the total that she actually submitted. And what happened when she got the written action plan, she did have a flurry of activity. She submitted she was able to procure 7 applications in a couple-week period, and then she stopped doing anything. And she was terminated on October 19th, and she submitted absolutely no applications from the 27th of September until October 19th. We don't know why, but those are the undisputed facts. And based on that, we believe the district court was correct in holding that Ms. Spector failed to prove the second prong of a prima facie case under Title VII.
But why was she allowed to stay there when she got that warning, and then there were so many months when she did not meet expectations?
Yeah, the records.
And then within, a short time of learning that she was pregnant, she ends up being terminated. I understand I'm not laying out the whole sequence. She got the notice,
The bank knew that she was pregnant in April when she told them. And she had gotten a written warning at the end of March of 04. The manager, Elizabeth Eckert, retired in the beginning of August of 2004. This is a small branch. It has 3 to 5 employees on it. The record indicates that the number was dwindling as the busy season was approaching.
Well, but I think the point of Judge Williams' question is that when there's a problem, if an employer doesn't do anything about it, you might rationally say, actually, maybe that's not a level of application volume that it's uncomfortable with. It only becomes uncomfortable with it when it takes a look at her, realizes she's pregnant, says, oh my gosh, we're a small branch. She's going to have some time off in January when she has the baby. Let's toss her now. I mean, that is an inference you could draw if you thought that this statement of 2 applications a week was really pretextual. You know, maybe you keep people on who don't produce that kind of volume.
And there's no evidence of that at all. There's no evidence that...
But you kept her on for months. From
March 30th.
From March 30th until mid-September.
Right.
And she was talked to in the beginning of August when the VP showed up at the bank to do the transition to the new manager, Mr. Quidway. And she told Ms. Spector on August 8th, you're not meeting the expectations of your job. And Ms. Spector comes up with a bunch of excuses why she can't do it, which she put in her affidavit, too, which is inconsistent with, if in fact she was meeting the expectation, why do you have to come up with excuses why you're not meeting the expectations? But putting that aside, she's clearly told on August 8th, you have to do this.
You really have no explanation for why the bank carried her from March 30th until August with no action. Basically, she gets the notice, nothing happens.
Right. I have no explanation why Ms. Eckert didn't do anything further.
Or why the bank didn't do anything.
It was Ms. Eckert's responsibility to do that, and she evidently didn't want to do it and retired on August 8th. At that point in time, the bank was not obligated to keep ignoring it, and it was undisputed she wasn't doing her job, and it's undisputed she knew that this was an expectation before she even announced that she was pregnant. So there's no inference that any of this was pretextual. She simply didn't do her job and failed to meet the bank's expectations, and the fact that she was pregnant or was going to need an FMLA leave had nothing to do whatsoever with the bank's decision. And based on all those facts, which are all undisputed, we think that the district court should be affirmed.
Okay. Well,